Welcome. We continue our book reading, Chapter 10, The Role of Desires and Their Management, page 77. We all have desires. There's nothing wrong with having desires, is there? If we had no desire to work, we would not be productive. If we had no desire to eat, our body would just wither away. These desires to maintain the body and prosper enough to maintain our homes are not selfish. The problem that has overtaken us is that we live in a very materialistic society. Without us being aware, we have been groomed to have selfish desires. Once we have such desires, we have seemingly automatic actions to acquire that item or person to make us feel happy. However, after acquiring the item or person, our desires do not stop. We look for the next best thing, and the cycle goes on. Let us examine this experience a bit more fully. Recall the state of mind before the desire arose. And now, recall the state of mind after we have acquired and utilized our object of desire. You can close your eyes for a minute and just do that quick reflection. What is the state of mind before we acquire a state, an object that we desire? And now, what is our state of mind after we have acquired it? Open your eyes. Are they not the same state of mind? Both states are of peace. Is this peace not what we are really looking for? If my nature is peace, then why do we have desires in the first place? The answer is written on the wall. It is okay to have unselfish desires so that we can care about ourselves. Without any unselfish desires, this world will not function at all. The divine has added a beautiful way to make this journey even more profound and interesting. It has given us the ability to offer our time and resources for others as well. Once we realize this at an intuitive level, we come to the recognition that the profound pleasure that one gets in giving to others is hundreds of times more satisfying than the little pleasure that we get in acquiring something for ourselves alone. The more we become sincere seekers, the more we recognize this game of the divine. We learn that when we give ourselves for the betterment of others, we start seeing the divine in them too. Our minds become pure and divine. We no longer have any feverishness for completing our selfish desires. Such desires just fall away. I was amazed recently when I read on Good News Network that a Canadian woman who had won the lottery of $1,000 a week for the rest of her life gave it away in charity. She said, "I already have a house and a car. Why do I need a new house and new car when I can find no happiness in that? We can let go of our selfish desires. It is not that hard. Most of us, however, do not wish to even accept this. We continue to desire to have a big paycheck, a better and higher standard of living, the best quality of food, and so on and so forth. The worst is that we intellectualize all our desire-driven activities, that we are working harder at our jobs for the sake of our families. It takes a lot of courage to accept that the divine has already given much more than what we really need. The Bhagavad Gita mentions that 1/3 of all that we earn should be used for the present moment for ourselves and our families. 1/3 should be for the future, and 1/3 should be given to charities and the needy. Do we really do that? On my own personal journey, I have noticed in so many people that the act of giving without any expectations of any returns leads to so much beautiful change. They become happier, peaceful, and contented. We live in a world of desire, passion, paranoia, anger, anxiety, and depression. Yet, do we as people wishing to be pristine and pure even have the right to be affected by these selfish desires if our sole aim in life is to become peaceful and calm? Today, let us make a firm pledge, beyond any doubt, with full faith in the highest value of service to others. We dedicate our lives henceforth only to serve others. When we do so, we become virtuous, like the divine itself. And we pause. In our group, we had a great opportunity to reflect about the benefit of giving unconditionally in an unselfish way so that our mind becomes pure. We also recognize that we have a tendency to intellectualize. We tend to feel that we are doing something for the sake of doing, and I am doing this. That word I comes in the middle. It says, I am doing this. It is near impossible to let go of that I. That I am donating $50,000 to a charity organization, say, just to make it up. When will that I go? That I will only go when you realize that you are the big I, the superconscious mind, which is got nothing to do with this world, which is only of the nature of peace. But when my desires do happen, because I can't reach that state immediately, but when my desires do happen, be it selfish or unselfish, doesn't matter. By the way, we're talking about the final truth. Be it selfish or unselfish, you are just letting go. You recognize that a desire is nothing but a thought. A thought is nothing but energy. And that energy is constrained energy because of the blockages in our system. When we have done enough practice, when we have learned to let go, then you will find nothing but that superconscious energy within your own body. And your mind will be pure anyway. Till that state arrives when you get enlightened.
So what did you say after energy?
Till that state happens, you just keep going. Do not stop. Keep offering your thoughts, your desires, your wishes, your feelings, your intentions, they're all words, whatever those are, back to the divine. And with God's grace, with the divine's grace, you might just get enlightened.